It's Tuesday, March 15th, and welcome to our live broadcast called This and That. And again, I'm your host, Pastor David Ripley. This is where I get to offer my opinions on the news headlines of the day. This and That airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. As we always do each and every week, before we get into today's stories, let me state that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Grace Christian Fellowship or Grace Christian Radio. The weather is getting a little nicer, although we're getting some rain. And I'd like to welcome again our producer, Adam Sumbler.
Good day.
He's with us tonight again. So the weather for tomorrow, March the 16th, partly sunny and a high of +8. Yes, I don't know if Michelle is listening tonight down in Portland, Oregon, but that's not a bad temperature for Creston, BC. Something new we're bringing out for This and that we broadcast each and every week. And this is what we're adding. If you have a Bible question or a news story you'd like us to follow up on, please send your question or story request to CrestonChristianRadio@gmail.com. Let me just repeat that. If you have a Bible question or a news story you'd like us to follow, please send your question or story request to CrestonChristianRadio@gmail.com. And you know, maybe I could declare myself to be the pastor answer man. I don't know. What do you think, Adam?
Sounds good to me.
I don't know. I don't know if I'll have all the answers to every single question, but maybe you have something that's been lingering in your mind that you want cleared up, and we'll do what we can to answer those questions. Or maybe you have a story that, you know, we just haven't been following that you think is important, and we could just, you know, do a little investigation as we follow along. So again, CrestonChristianRadio@gmail.com. Well, moving into today's stories, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly, and Defense Minister Anita Anand are among multiple Canadians who have been banned from Russia.
Yeah, I just read that this morning, or sorry, this afternoon.
Yeah, you read that. I'm sure they're so hungry to visit Russia.
I also heard that they banned like the president, the members of the White House. Yeah, it was an interesting list.
Yeah, they're biting at the bit, as they say, to get to Russia. And now their expectations have been dashed and they cannot visit. Well, you know.
What a shame.
It is a shame. A day after she burst onto a live news broadcast on Russian state television holding a sign denouncing the war in Ukraine, lawyers with human rights groups told the Washington Post they are unable to locate producer Marina Ovsyannikova. I probably didn't pronounce that right.
That's okay.
More than 12 hours after she was detained.
Oh, she's in a hole somewhere. I'm not saying that she's dead, but they have her locked up in a hole somewhere.
She just disappeared.
Well, it's crazy. I was watching this similar thing. Anybody, there was this like live news broadcast of like sort of like a protest, but there was more police in full black suits, like riot gear, than there were protesters in this like court. And anytime someone went up to a camera with a sign, and I couldn't read it because I don't know Russian, but from what I got from it, the signs were like against, like talking out against Putin. Instantly, they'd get sworn by these police officers, arrested, and gone.
Yeah, never to be seen again.
Oh, never to be seen again. Crazy. Like instantly.
It is a little crazy, the things that are happening around the world, not only in Russia, but in Ukraine. On a more somber note, Fox News says its veteran war photojournalist has been killed reporting in Ukraine.
Wow.
Fox News just broadcasting that. And again, you know, reporters put themselves in harm's way in many cases.
Yeah, they do.
There's been a few reporters killed filming the war, and it's kind of a sad day for Fox News.
It's a tough job.
It's a tough job, no question about it. A huge Ukrainian refugee wave, now more than 3 million. 3 million people. They're estimating that this is just going to go higher and higher and higher, probably within the next few weeks. Up to 5 million people have left Ukraine for bordering countries like Romania and Moldova,
Poland.
And it really begs the question, you know, what's really happening with this war? What's really taking place? These are the most refugees that we've seen on the move since World War II. That's what they're stating. And it's alarming, really. We're seeing so many innocent victims, people killed in bombing raids and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because the news really like shows one thing, but from what I've seen in the news and different articles and stuff I've been reading, like some of these towns are just they're done. Like they're just shambles, apartment complexes just blown up.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. It doesn't surprise me that there are so many refugees fleeing. Like, what are they to do?
Yep. And we need to be praying. We need to be praying for these civilians as they endeavor to escape the ravages of war that's taking place in Ukraine. We don't know how long this war is going to last.
Nope.
It could go on for weeks or even months, many are predicting. And you know, the people of Ukraine are fighting back.
Yeah.
They are fighting back. But, you know, we have to admit, Russia has a pretty strong army. And with planes flying overhead, it's really tough to be able to defend yourself.
It's a numbers game, right? You know, you have Russians have a lot bigger of an army than Ukraine. And
yes,
I'd feel bad to be Ukraine. You know, they're sort of sitting with these NATO forces around them and no one's helping. Like, it's just a hard hit on morale. Like, they're fighting tooth and nail to keep their country. And I know there's a lot of politics behind it. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes and stuff we just don't understand. But from people aspect, civilians, you know, you feel like here's these people that can help that are doing nothing. Here's this army that we're fighting tooth and nail to stop. Like, that's hard. It's hard.
President Zelensky addressed the Canadian Parliament today.
Yep.
In fact, as I was listening to his discourse, I noticed he was calling the Prime Minister Justin in a very personal way.
Buddy, buddy.
It appeared that way. In fact, as we talk about this, the third largest Ukrainian population outside of Ukraine is in Canada. It's Ukraine, obviously, Russia, and then Canada, with close to 1.2 or 1.3 million Ukrainians or of Ukrainian descent living in Canada. A lot of those individuals live in the prairie provinces.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know about that till last week when you told me.
Yeah. it's really amazing the amount of Ukrainians living right here in Canada. And of course, as we discussed last week, you're right, there are many refugees coming to Canada. They will find their way to towns and cities across our country. And we're just praying for them. We're praying for the civilians that somehow they will be protected, that lives will not be lost, and this war will at some point end, and we don't know what the results are going to be right now. No. You know, as of today, we don't know what's going to happen.
No, there's just so much in the air right now. We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, as a result of this war in Ukraine, there's a lot of what we refer to as domino effects.
Yep.
Domino effects. We must do everything, one commentator said, possible to avert a hurricane of hunger. War in Ukraine threatens global food supplies. You know, from what I understand, a lot of wheat comes from Ukraine and from Russia. And then you have the whole oil
situation
that's happening. Oil, gas is going up. I mean, I drove by one of the gas stations today on my way to Crawford Bay. $1.89 a liter.
Yep, it's crazy.
$1.89 a liter, and I'm thinking about all these truck drivers, and we're going to talk about that in a few moments. But it's just amazing how there is, as I referred to, a domino effect. Yeah. You know, something happens in one part of the world, and it just affects the globe.
Yeah,
it affects everyone.
Yeah.
And I think all of us have been seeing prices going up.
Absolutely.
On everything.
Well, everything that gets to us in Canada either comes on a form of vehicle that requires some type of oil to get it here, whether the oil's turned into gas or petrol or whatever it gets turned into. So, I mean, yeah.
I mean, someone was telling me today that they bought a turnip. I don't know, Adam, if you like turnip.
Yeah.
Give or take, right?
Give or take.
I mean, he said he bought a very small turnip. I think it cost him like $5 or $6. And last year, this time, he bought a turnip. It was like 2 or 3 times the size of the one that he bought today or yesterday or whenever he picked it up. I mean, it's just amazing. You go into the grocery store and everything has gone up. And everything has gone up.
And it's just the start. It's only going to go up more.
Well, moving to another topic, I think all of us are pretty excited here in British Columbia because the mask mandate has officially ended last Friday.
It's a time to celebrate.
It is a time to celebrate. To go into a store, to go about your business, and not have to wear a mask. What's interesting in British Columbia is that a lot of people continue to wear their masks, Adam, even though the mandate has dropped.
Their choice.
It's their choice. I don't know why they're continuing to wear one. We know how ineffective they really are, and yet it's created a bit of anxiety, one psychologist has said, as a result of a lot of these mandates being lifted, and people are living their lives, and they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, should I wear the mask? Should I not wear the mask? You know, you go into stores. I find this interesting. You go into stores, and you go into one store, and the employees are wearing a mask.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, and then you go into another store, and none of the employees are wearing a mask. And so it creates this kind of peer pressure. If the employees are wearing a mask, maybe I should be wearing one. Or if the employees are not wearing a mask, I guess I don't have to wear one. But it creates a bit of confusion, and it creates a bit of anxiety.
Yeah. I think the best one I saw on Sunday was one employee was wearing a mask. Another employee was wearing their mask on their chin, and the other one didn't have any mask on. It was like all three standards.
you kind of wonder, what's going on. And I'm very happy to say that on April the 8th here in British Columbia, if you're unvaccinated, you will no longer need a passport.
Yep, and we just need one more step after this.
And what's that, Adam?
That's to remove the mandates for jobs.
Yes.
That's... I mean, these are all things to be happy about, the lack of mandates for going out to restaurants and going to events and stuff again. But the truth is that we need the job mandates to disappear.
And a lot of these federal mandates to be lifted.
That's correct. We forgot about those ones.
Yeah, we forgot about those ones. You know, the fact is, and I was thinking about this the other day, how the prime minister has, you know, really put the squeeze on unvaccinated people. You can't even get on a plane or a train anywhere in Canada flying domestically. Forget about, flying to some part of the world. You can't even get on a plane and fly from Calgary to Vancouver without being vaccinated. I'm praying that somehow, the pressure is going to mount on the prime minister to lift these federal mandates, including those at the border. Can I hear an amen out there?
Amen.
Those at the border, whether you're going into the States or you're coming into Canada, let those mandates be lifted.
Yeah.
Because really, when you think about it, there's so many other things that are just flowing normally.
Yeah. I think so. I think they need to reapproach it. Like, yeah, it's just, they're giving us a little taste. That's the way I see it right now. They're like looking at what the most of the people are angry about, and they're giving us a little taste. Masks in, in establishments, and oh, we'll let them go to restaurants again and events again. But the truth is, the one that hits our pockets the hardest is the jobs, not being able to travel around. You know, there's a lot of people, especially in the Kootenays, where we have a lot of people that vacation here, come from Ontario, come from other places in the summer, want to see the wineries, want to see the beautiful BC. Those people still can't come unless they're vaccinated.
And I have to tell you, and let me be honest, Adam, as you would want me to be.
Always.
Yes. I miss going to Spokane.
Oh, absolutely.
I miss going to Idaho.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to very soon visiting my daughter, Michelle Myers, living just outside of Portland, Oregon, and her wonderful husband, Ryan. I would love to get down there and see them. And because I'm not vaccinated, the border is like an iron gate. Thank you. So I am praying that somehow the prime minister will be squeezed, pressured, whatever it takes to lift these mandates. And also, like you said, that people would be able to get their jobs back.
Yeah. I think those are the big ones. I think this war in Ukraine, even though it's very bad, it's allowed some of this federal regulated stuff to be swept under the carpet. And I'm hoping that some people still are acting. It was great to see the protest in Creston on the weekend. There's a lot of people here that were still, trying to get these mandates to come to an end. It was peaceful. It looked great. So it's good to see that people are still seeing that there's still a problem going on.
Mm. In Alberta, there's a bike boom.
Hey.
Bike and e-bike sales surge and continue to surge.
I'm game for that. My bicycle's tuned up, ready to go.
Yeah. Well, my bike is, it was tuned up last year. And, I just don't want to get into the guilt thing. I don't want to move into this guilt thing. Truckers slow traffic in protest of high gas prices in Metro Vancouver. And we've already talked about that earlier on the broadcast, the price of gas. And how it's affecting truckers and so many people. Yeah. We have to think about people that are on a fixed income.
That's the scariest part about it, right?
You only get so much money that's coming in. It's a fixed amount. And now it's being stretched. You're going to have to stretch that farther and farther and farther in order to make ends meet.
And think about this, gas went up 15% in the last month or so, give or take 15%. We got about 15 cents a liter in the last month. Where are those costs going to go to? They're going to go to the groceries. They're going to go to other things that takes gas to get them here. So
you know what? I have an SUV, Hyundai SUV. And it was just about on empty, and Gina went to fill it up.
Can I guess?
Yeah, I'll let you give it.
$95.
You're pretty close. That's pretty good. $92 to fill up my little SUV. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
You want to guess my truck? I filled my truck up the other day.
How much?
You guess. Just put a number out there.
Okay, I would say like $145.
$172.
Now what? Okay, if you go back 6 months, how much would that have cost to fill it up? Just roughly.
Just under $100.
Just under $100. Yeah. So that's like a hundred what?
$172.
So yeah. That's an extra $70.
Yeah.
You know, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, my gas was about 140. It was like 100, 105. It, you know, depending where how close to empty I was, but right. Yeah. Crazy.
Here's something interesting under the subject of COVID-19. BC hospital workers say there's a double standard at work as doctors are not forced to get vaccinated.
That is a double standard.
It is a double standard.
Why hasn't that come out sooner?
I don't know.
Wow.
I am praying that somehow Bonnie Henry will get an epiphany and she will recognize the error of her ways and bring back these almost 3,000 workers,
yeah,
you know, irrespective of what area in the hospital they were working, and bring them back.
Yeah, I hope so,
even
too.
Even though they're unvaccinated, yep. The chance of them spreading anything is almost zilch.
Well, it's the same as a vaccinated person.
Exactly.
So...
Pfizer chief executive officer Albert Bourla said in a CBS interview on Sunday that protection from three shots will wane and a fourth dose is needed right now.
Get them while it's hot.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, these are the people that are making the money.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're the ones that are telling us that we all need a fourth shot. For those of you out there in radio land that have gotten your booster, now, you know, Pfizer is saying, the chief executive officer is saying, you need to get a fourth dose so we can make more money, so we can fill our pockets. You know, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
It's just ludicrous.
It is.
It is ludicrous. The majority of Ontarians support lifting COVID-19 restrictions, but half still plan to wear masks in public.
Yeah, their choice.
That's their choice.
That's, you know, just like it's my choice not to wear a mask.
Yeah. Are you enjoying not wearing a mask?
I wasn't wearing a mask even when I had to.
But. Oh, okay. 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 You've exposed yourself.
I exposed myself.
You've exposed yourself. Okay.
But, yeah. I mean, no, I'm definitely happy. You know, I'm happy for the changes. I'm excited that more people, like, it was great to see, honestly, that Saturday, I think I went into Pilo's or somewhere, and it was really great. Like, people, the cashiers were smiling. People were like, oh, it's a glorious day. Like, you could tell people were happy that they haven't had to wear these masks on their face.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, never say never, Adam. Never say never. Because New Brunswick's chief medical officer is not promising that restrictions won't come back.
Sounds like Bonnie Henry's brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, the New Brunswick chief medical officer is not promising the end of COVID restrictions forever. And we've already listened to the medical officer and the premier of Ontario saying that, you know, these things may come back. Yeah. Even Bonnie Henry has
said it.
That, it, you know, things could come back in the fall.
It's funny, so specific, in the fall.
In the fall.
Not, well, these things will come back maybe in the fall. Very specific.
Very, very specific. In Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C., police blocked interstate exits in Washington into downtown as hundreds of trucks, cars, and SUVs protesting the government's response to the pandemic rode into the nation's capital to start a second week of demonstrations against all of these mandates that are still in effect in the United States of America.
There we go.
And so, you know, we had the protests in Ottawa, and I heard that they are protesting, will soon be protesting in Victoria.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. So.
Yeah. So we see that, you know, people are flustered. People want to see things changed. And so we just have to keep praying that, you know, more mandates will be lifted and we can get back to a pretty normal life.
Well, the damage has been done.
Yeah, so I know.
As normal as we can get.
I know there's been a lot of damage done. And, you know, when you think about it, we won't know for months, maybe even years.
10 years.
Before we see the true ramifications of everything that's been done over the last 2 years.
Absolutely. From the vaccine to mental disorders to drug overdoses, until we get all the numbers and calculate all the data, 10 years we'll finally get reports.
They're saying that there should be an inquiry.
I agree. I mean, when something big like this happens, we know in the world it's going to happen again at some point. So we should do an inquiry. We should figure out where we went wrong and try to do better next time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, one final little story here. Idaho passes a bill modeled after the Texas heartbeat law restricting abortions after 6 weeks.
Wow.
This is quite an amazing bill that's been passed, just waiting for the governor's signature, and it'll turn into law. And, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, we get so caught up, Adam, we get so caught up with the war, we get so caught up with COVID-19, but there's other pressing issues that still need to be prayed about, and abortion is one of them.
Right.
You know, the taking of innocent lives, you know, is something that we should be concerned about as believers. We should be praying about as believers because abortion is murder, really. That's really what it is. It's murder. It's the stamping out of a life within the womb. And so, you know, we see these things beginning to bubble up, these things beginning to take hold in different states.
Right.
Most of the states are conservative states, Idaho being a very conservative state. You know, I don't know what's happening in Oregon or Washington state, but in Idaho, they're making a stand. They're taking a stand.
Right.
And we need to be concerned about it. And the Bible's very clear that we need to stand up for those who have no voice.
Right, yeah.
Those who cannot speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stand up and we need to declare the truth in this hour. And I think that's biblical.
Right.
I really think that's biblical. And so, you know, kudos goes out to the legislature in Idaho for passing this bill. I pray there'll be more states do this and we'll see a change. I mean, really what we're looking for is the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. I mean, that's really what we're looking for. And so we're praying for the Supreme Court of the United States. I mean, if it happens in the States, it will put pressure on Canada, and I think that's a good thing.
Perfect.
I think that's a good thing. You know, Adam, you know, going back to the beginning of the broadcast, you know, if you have a Bible question or a news story you would like us to follow, please send your question. I don't know, like, do you have a question? Is there anything that kind of boggles your mind?
Not right this second.
I'm going to give you an opportunity.
I'm going to think of some things.
I'm going to give you an opportunity, Adam, over the next week to come up with a Bible question.
Perfect.
That we can discuss. I mean, you're going to have to give it to me prior to the program.
More than 12 hours?
More than 12 hours before the program starts.
Perfect.
But again, I just want to repeat this. If you have a Bible question or a news story you'd like us to follow, please send your question or story request to CrestonChristianRadio@gmail.com. And I'm just looking forward to some of these questions coming out and giving us the opportunity to answer them, or a news story. You know, we're picking news stories, but maybe we're missing something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, something that's very, very important.
Yeah.
and we just need to discuss it.
Yeah.
Do some investigation, bring it up, and discuss it. Well, that's all we have for tonight. This is Pastor David Ripley, believe it or not, signing off. Have a blessed evening.